Hello and welcome to Black Girls Read, your platform for tips and tricks for reading success in the Black community. And I'm your host, Tasha Dennings. And today, in the author's chair, we have Adonita J. Clark. She is a nurse, author, and mentor. She has authored three books entitled In Pain on Purpose, The Power of Love, and a children's book entitled The Robertson Brothers Adventures. I am so excited to welcome her to the show and hear all about her journey. I hope that you are all blessed by her story. Thank you for tuning in. Now let's get into it. All right. Welcome to the show, Miss Adonita Clark. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so very welcome. I just want my audience members to go ahead and just listen to this wonderful story that we have today from a wonderful author of three books. I'm so excited for you to share your journey with us. And just share your journey about your writing journey, a little bit about all three of your books, and just that's it. So we're going to go ahead and get started. So if you don't mind, just going ahead and kind of sharing with the audience a little bit more about your books. I kind of talked about them in the introduction. But yeah, you can go ahead and elaborate on your writing journey and just a little bit about yourself so that the audience can become familiar with you.
Okay. So my very first book is In Pain on Purpose. It's just a woman's self journey, through love and self-esteem and just finding yourself, growing up, you know, a lot of us don't see our worth, and it takes time. You know, it takes some maturity. It takes a lot to develop into the people that we grow to become. Mm-hmm. So that is In Pain on Purpose, because honestly, your pain really does have purpose. People always question the pain, but let the pain, you know, just be a part of your process.
Right.
Use it.
Right. Can you share a little bit more about what inspired you to write that particular book and come up with that title?
So it started off, it was actually a proposal from my sister. She wanted us to do a collaborative book about growing up as my mother's children. You know, everyone has, you know, their story to tell.
Right.
Life went on. No one was ever ready to write the book. And, you know, the more you share your story, you hear people's responses and you're like, So one day I was kind of bored. So I'm like, I'm going to write this book. So I started writing it, and it took me about 4 months. And wow, it was a journey, you know, reliving all of those emotions.
Right. Yeah.
It took me there. It was hard, but it was so rewarding at the end just to get it out.
Right. Do you believe that, you know, when you write a book that's really based on your truth, it can sometimes be a part of the healing process? Think that through writing your story, that you did, you know, go through some healing process in the midst of writing it?
Enormously. One of the things, you know, in our community we shy away from is counseling.
Yes.
I went to counseling when I got married, because I didn't know if we were going to stay married. And so the counselor had me write some of my emotions down. And through that transition, I realized that the anger that I had was never directed at the right source. You know, I was angry at my father, but yet I let all of that spill out to everyone that I was in. Wow. I just didn't trust men at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all because based on my relationship with him.
Right. Oh, wow. So you went to counseling. Was this before or after the first book? Did you write that book before you got married or after?
After.
After, okay. Okay. So then your second book is entitled The Power of Love. Can you share a little bit about that story?
So we have a blended family. There are me and him versus seven children.
Right.
And you know, when you come into a family, everybody has their set of traditions and the hierarchy and who they respect and what type of discipline, you know, that they do for their children. Me and my husband
Right.
are polar opposites. Like, he's quiet, let's talk privately, and I am a very boisterous person, and so I yell. And trying to integrate our children together was such a difficult journey. And I looked, you know, for like spiritual guidance and just books on what am I supposed to do with these children? I want to love them and I want my children to love him. So where do we go from here? And I just didn't find that. So when I started, you know, just talking about it, and even, you know, listening to my sisters and other people, there were so many factors that can destroy your marriage and your home if you allow them to. And we had so many outside influences just kept poking and poking and poking, you know, with their recommendations. And so when I wrote the book, it was after, like years after we had gone through this. And I just wanted to help someone else that may be trying to blend a family and deal with, you know, the stepchildren or the aunt or the in-laws, just, you know, on their journey.
And it's so funny that you say that because I literally just got off the phone with a friend of mine, and I just got engaged not too long ago, and I have a son. My fiance doesn't have any kids, so we're trying to figure out how this parenting relationship looks for him as a step parent, or as a parent, because I could tell him like you're his parent, you're here. So, that's so I love that you wrote that book. Sound like
One of the things I
So.
can give you advice about is that for me, my mother never believed in step parents, right? I didn't believe that.
Right.
My children know who their biological parent is, but I'm in a relationship with this person and you have to respect this
Respect
person
them as your parent.
as your parent. And with my, even with my bonus children, I don't call them stepchildren anymore. They're my bonus children.
I like
You just, I don't want to take the place of your parent, but I do
that.
want to love you. So we have to have a relationship.
So what advice could you give to a parent or just people that might be in your shoes? Just a little nugget that you could give them. But y'all need to go read the book, but I'm just saying, a nugget that you could give.
So me and my stepdaughter literally didn't talk for about a year. And we lived in the same house. She was only 14 years old. We had to come up with some type of way to communicate. So she came to me, she asked me all these questions. And, you know, I told her what upset me and the things that I didn't like. And she used that against me. So I had to be my husband always would say, you have to be the adult. And it kind of would hurt my feelings because I am being the adult. I'm telling you something that's going on, and you aren't responding appropriately or the way that I want you to respond. So we got a journal. And when things would happen, we would write them down, and she would pass it to me in my room, and I would read it, and then vice versa. So after a couple months of doing that, we actually are. It changed our communication. She apologized to me and she like spilled out all of this stuff I had been saying she was doing. And she just apologized. And that it was so rewarding because I just felt like I hadn't done anything wrong and I was trying to be, you know, a loving parent. And my husband didn't believe me. with all this stuff going on. But when she acknowledged it to me, I didn't need his opinion anymore. I didn't need him to say, hey, this is right, this is wrong. Because at the end of the day, if I didn't ever cut him out of the relationship, me and her would have never built our own relationship.
To build your own,
because we both were like trying to go through him. We can't go, you can't go through him.
I like that. And me and my fiance just had a similar conversation, but I just told him, I said, I really need you. You have to build your own relationship with him. You know, you have to, I don't want to say necessarily be his friend, but you have to build a relationship with him first. And then he'll, you know, then the kid will want to work for you or want to respect you because you come in under a loving relationship versus more of a dictatorship almost, you know? So, yay! I love that.
For boys, though, the trick with boys is consistency. So boys, they always love, you know, they love their biological father, but when another man comes in, you know, it's a little intimidating, but if they are consistent, they will gravitate to him.
Right. Consistency. I'm writing some notes. So y'all get y'all pencil and paper out while y'all listening. Take some notes. Okay. So then the third book, The Robinson Brothers Adventures is your first children's book, correct?
Yes.
So yes.
My sons are the Robinsons. And he's 14 now, but when he was 11, he had his own landscaping business where he legitimately went to work in our neighborhood. He worked for a gentleman. He got paid every 2 weeks. And I seen that I needed to develop him as a business person. So the book is based on, you know, children doing chores, earning money, learning the value of money, learning the value of building, and then saving.
Okay. And how is that kind of explained? Is it explained in a, it's for the, well, it's a children's book. So it's for kids to read and to get the concept.
Yes. So it's a story. They do chores and they show you their business and they show you the reward of what happens when you save and invest your money. What will happen in the end.
Okay. Oh, I love it. So out of the three books that you've written, do you have one that you is like, oh, this is my favorite, or, you know, just one that you love more than the others, or are they all kind of the same?
So I love In Pain on Purpose
as an author
because it's me, you know, everything, every emotion, every stronghold, you know, every celebration and every victory that I went through is in that book.
Right. Now, is In Pain on Purpose a fiction or nonfiction?
No, it's fiction.
It's fiction. Okay. So who is the audience for the On Pain on Purpose and The Power of Love? Who are those books written for?
So In Pain on Purpose is for young women. When I was young and I went through the trials and the tribulations, you know, you always feel like I'm the only one going through this, like nobody to talk to, like, and then sometimes you're scared to tell people the things that you go to for fear of judgment.
I
want to help younger women understand that you're not the only one that's going through that. And it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to heal from it.
Yeah. I like that. Because there's so much, especially for young women. I mean, young boys too, but I can only speak to young women because I've been a young woman. And being in places where there's things that are happening and you don't know who to talk to, or you want to tell somebody, but you are afraid of judgment. You don't know if somebody will believe you, or whatever the case may be. To any young girls that are listening right now, to you, I guess, I just want to say that you're not alone, right? You're not, you have a tribe of women that have been through what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, if you tell somebody, they will take it way better than what you have in your head.
Right.
A lot of times we have these negative thoughts that we think are going to happen when we tell people things. And you'd be surprised. Often people are more supportive and loving mm-hmm. than you would have imagined. So I just want to say that to my young listeners today. Yeah. And the power of love, is that written for mothers or blended families?
Mothers, blended families. It's more about relationships. You know, okay. Relationships are very valuable, whether you're a mother or a father or you're the ex. You know, the ex doesn't always have to be the enemy.
Right.
Yep. And even in-laws, like I had a difficult time with my in-laws because they favored the ex over me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought you was gonna keep talking. Oh, I didn't want to interrupt you. I didn't want to. I really didn't want you to stop. Sorry for the awkward silence.
No, it's okay. No,
I'm feeling this. I'm understanding.
The thing is, like, me and my husband's ex, we don't get along, but we have a mutual understanding now. You know, I'm his wife, yeah. And you will respect him. And when we are, you know, with our family. That, you know, your presence isn't warranted. That's fine. No disrespect. Right. And then for the in-laws, I had to set that tone too, because for many, many, many holidays, for years in a row, she was always invited.
Mm.
We have these battles that are going on that you guys know nothing about behind the scenes.
Right.
And then Thanksgiving and Christmas, you want us to play nice. As if
like everything's honky dory. Yes,
and they would say things like that. Yeah. Like, oh, we're just one big family. Wait, who's one big family? Because we're arguing about toothbrushes right now.
Yeah.
So I need you guys to have some respect for me and my husband. Mm-hmm. And let's please have a conversation before we invite everyone to Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. And in that instance, or just period, can you speak a little bit to what you think it takes to have a successful relationship when you're in a blended family?
So
how do you navigate, you know, some of those challenges?
So everybody has their role, you know, and whether it's traditional or non-traditional, you have to respect that. I have learned even with my family that just because you don't agree with something doesn't mean you say that. Sometimes mm-hmm. you need to mm-hmm. learn to channel some of the things that you feel and not express that. And that's how you build relationships. Everybody is not asking for your criticism.
Yeah.
That was the basis. I really had to establish that with my in-laws. Hey, this is my home. When you come here, mm-hmm. boo-boo, you're going to be respectful. If not,
boo-boo.
Yes. If not, then I'm sorry, but then you can't come.
You're not welcome. No. Right.
And that it started. Yeah.
And it takes a strong person to have that. You know, sometimes people, I don't know. Sometimes I think some people can be so passive.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to, like, you know, they want peace. They don't want to have to say anything. They don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. But you have to set those ground rules.
Definitely.
Or you might find yourself in uncomfortable situations more than you want to be, you know.
Because you got to ask yourself, is being passive and allowing these things to happen for the sake of peace really bringing you peace? Because
mm-hmm.
it's not. Internally,
it's not.
You're suffering. So where is the peace in that?
Right.
No, it started from the very top. I had to start, and I did tell my husband, if your mom can't be respectful, honey, she can't come.
Mm-hmm. Ooh-wee, that's a topic. That's a conversation to be had. I mean, I could have a whole podcast show on that. Okay. Oh, what? Where?
what? Oh, I love you. Like, I feel like I've known you for like 10 years. And this is only like our second time speaking. With your publishing journey, I want to kind of speak to that a little bit. How was your journey in writing your books? How was your journey in getting them published? And kind of where did you start and where did you end by the time you got to your third book?
In all honesty, like within Pain on Purpose, I had no idea where to start at. I, you know, put some feelers out on Twitter and I ran across this lady who did everything for me. From the book cover to the editing, she showed me how to self-publish, and she just walked me through the whole process. So learning it from scratch, it was very hard to go back to a traditional publisher with my second book. My second book, I got an offer for it to be published through a traditional publisher, but they did everything for me, and that wasn't the way that I wanted it done at that point. I already knew what kind of cover design I wanted, so I didn't want them to choose it for me. The editing is very time consuming. It's the bulk of your publishing. It takes the longest time is the actual editing, because it goes back and forth between you and the editor so many times. I love self-publishing. The hardest challenge in self-publishing and in my whole journey is the actual promotion and marketing.
Okay.
I sell a lot of books. I sell books by word of mouth, just talking about my story.
Right.
The traditional publisher, I didn't sell any books.
Wow. And for some reason, I just thought you would sell more going through a traditional publisher.
And that's why I used them. And it was so interesting, because what I paid her.
So did the. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
What I paid her and then what I paid for the publishing company to do was the same amount of money. And I got better results on my own.
Okay. So you got better results when you self-published. Yes. Okay. Did the traditional company offer you any, did they do any kind of marketing for you?
No.
Or were you still kind of, they just published the book and you still had to go back and do your own marketing? Right. Okay. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. A lot of money really does go into marketing and people aren't aware of that. When you see all these followings, I'm still trying to figure out where people get these huge followings from. Like, I don't want to be I want to be my authentic self, but sometimes I cuss a lot, and so I try not to be like that on social media. But then you watch some of these more popular videos and people are really honestly being their genuine self, and people know
themselves. I guess it's just more about like finding your with marketing, you have to know where your audience is. Like, where are they? What do they like to do? What kind of music do they listen to? What type of pages are they following? Like, you need to know them, you know? But even still, I have not mastered the marketing stuff. So anybody that's listening, you want to come on the show and give the listeners some tips on marketing strategies. We will gladly have you. That's probably one of my biggest struggles as well. What mistakes did you make between your first book and your last book?
I think using the traditional publisher was a huge mistake, and I think it was a waste of my time and efforts, because when they created my cover, I said, no, this isn't the cover. I have a cover that's already created. So I did most of the work for them, but I still had to pay them. And then don't settle. That's one thing that I learned. My first cover for In Pain on Purpose was completely not the concept that I imagined it to be. And I listened to the artist. She told me, don't do this, don't do that, because you might brand yourself this way. Well, my books are for a certain demographic, a certain listener, a certain person. You know, they are branded. So I allowed her to create the cover. She thought it was for me. And it was, people didn't buy my book with that cover. When they say that,
So did you go back
no,
in?
I got a whole new artist. But you know when they say
Okay.
people don't judge a book by its cover. Oh, honey, please.
And
Right.
that's the first thing
Right.
we you look at the cover and you if you like the cover, then you'll read the back. Look. Yeah. So that was your mistake, was going with the traditional publisher versus self-publishing. Okay. What tips would you give a new author that might be thinking that they want to publish a book, they don't know where to start? What is your go-to thing that you would tell someone?
Right. That's the most important thing,
That's what I
is
say.
right.
Yes.
If it's following
Writing is the hardest
Because
part.
you get blocks. I can work on a project for weeks and months, and I will pour my soul into it, and then I will feel so empty, and I will wonder like, what's next for
Yes.
me? Because the project is complete, and you have that time period where you have that block. You don't ever want to get into a writer's block because it stalls your process. So whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes a day, write something.
Set aside time every day to write. That's good. Okay. And then my last question is, what are you working on
I have two more books that are complete. They're just waiting to
now?
enter into the process of editing. And then my
Okay.
last book that I'm working on is my fifth novel. It is about the systems, the healthcare systems, the foster system. You know, I have been around the
Goodness.
block a little bit, and I've met a lot of children that have endured the foster system. It just talks about their journey along with the healthcare system's journey. It's a broken system. You know, I'm a nurse, so I see it all the time. We do great things, but in the end, everything boils down to money, and the people that don't have it don't receive the kind of care that they need.
I think. Oh, that's gonna be a good read. So are you sharing, just sharing people's stories?
So now, so I was actually a product of the foster system for a short time as well. And so I'm just talking about it from start to finish and what children go through. They're so vulnerable and they don't have a voice for people to speak up for them. And they kind of get forgotten because people don't want to take on that burden, you know. Somebody else's child, or they have disciplinary issues. It's financially taxing, what have you, but it contributes so much to the children in our society.
Oh, that's gonna be good. So when are you expecting to release your next two novels?
My typical release date is in June, but with COVID, it slowed that down. So December will be Luggage, Labels, and Love. And then 6 months after that will be Broken.
All right. Well, Danita, where can people find you?
So my Facebook page is Donita J. Clark. My Instagram is Donita J. Clark, and so is my Twitter, Donita J. Clark. And then my website is www.donitajclark.com.
And are your books available on your website? Are they available on like
So
Kindle, Amazon? Where can people find your books? Are they
only on your website? No, they are. So In Pain on Purpose is on my website, and it's also, and when you order it off my website, I always autograph it, you know, do a personal touch to it. If you order from Amazon, it comes straight from Amazon. And then there's also an ebook. I have an ebook for In Pain on Purpose on Amazon. The Power of Love is on Amazon only. And then so is the Robinson Brothers Adventures. Okay. They're coming out with some more adventures too.
Oh, yay! So it's going to be a series. Oh, that's gonna be cute.
We gotta talk about manners, and we gotta talk about billions.
Okay. Oh yes, good, good topics for children. I guess we're gonna go into the rapid round. So this is the portion of our segment where I ask you 3 to 4 questions, and you're going to just say the first thing that comes to your head.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay. Question one. When did the buggy, when did the writing bug bite? So when did you know that you wanted to be an author?
It was in 2016. I was considering writing my book, but I didn't know where to start. So I went to a seminar that an author was holding. She gave me a lot of information that I used. And then she gave me a book. I won the prize. And I started from there. It had all the little nuggets you needed to start.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, number two. What tips can you give to a parent that is trying to help their child become a better reader?
So for my son, he was embarrassed because he couldn't read he couldn't read well for many, many years. Things that I do for him was, I'm a traditional person. I like paper and I like books. So we went to the library. And over the summer, you know, they host like reading sessions and all these little fun activities, the computer where, you know, you can do fun little word games. So I really spent a lot of time with him at the library.
Okay. And then the third question is, what book have you read recently that have helped you with your personal growth?
Michelle Obama's book, Becoming.
Mm-hmm. Becoming. Okay.
She's so inspirational.
Yes, I listened. I'm an audiobook listener as of lately. And I listened to it. Because sometimes you just need to just sit back and just listen. Just listen. Just be still and listen. But I did listen to that book, and it was very, very inspirational. All right. Well, I guess that's it for today. Do you have anything else you want to say to our listeners before we close?
Reading is fundamental. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Pick up something that you're interested in. For me, I'm a little bit of a nerd, so I like to read medical books. Pick up a book, learn, just make it fun.
Yes. Thank you. Well, you guys heard it first here on Black Girls Read with Donita J. Clark. I'm so grateful to have you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking time from your day to come and share with us. And that's it, y'all.
Did you enjoy the show? Well, if so, check out our Instagram page at blackgirlsread_the_podcast. From there, you can purchase t-shirts, coffee mugs, and books, as well as support the podcast, listen to previous shows, and find out about our previous guests and their works of art. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Let's continue to support literacy. Let's continue to support reading and writing, and let's continue to support each other. Once again, this is your host, Tasha Dennings, signing out. Until next time, have a good one.